is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Ooh, we did not come up with a poll of the week before we started this, so we're just
gonna... I have one.
Oh, you do? All right, yes. Go for it.
Have you ever been curling?
Yes, I have. Because I live in Minnesota, and my mom is the manager of a local curling club here, so... It's fun, except I'm probably not going to curl tonight because although I have never fallen, the motion, so when you, I don't know the technical terms, but basically when you're in like a little starting, you know, those like track start thingies, you're like in one of those and you have to push off and your one hand is on the rock, which is like the curling thing. And then your other hand is on like a... Well, sometimes your other hand isn't on anything, but if you're bad at balance like I am, you have a little sweeper thing. So you hold on to the sweeper, you hold on to the rock, and you push off. And like I don't want to re-break my elbow, so I'm going to not do... I'll like walk along the ice with people, but I will not be doing that because I am not taking any chances.
That's fair.
Also, I'm sick again, and I don't want to be in the cold and get sick.
Are there like curling positions? Like, does everyone do everything, or is there one person that pushes and other who sweep, or is it, or do you like take turns?
So
like,
how you, does it work? Good question. You do take turns. There are four people on a team, and then you play another four people at the other end of the sheet, it's called. So there are, I don't know the technical terms, but I know either the first or last person is called the skip, and that's like your good player. But the other people, I mean, like you all do everything. So you'll one time you'll curl the rocks, and then you'll sweep. And then it just rotates depending on who is in the little box thing. There are probably way more technical terms to explain that, but it's interesting if you ever watch the Olympics.
If you couldn't tell, I have not been curling.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been to an ice rink like twice in my life.
You should check if they have it in North Carolina. I'd be interested to see if they like sure. even have a curling. I don't know, but like most of the curling Olympic team is from Minnesota, so.
No, I'm sure they do. I doubt it's very popular, but you know, if there are ice rinks around, like they exist here. It's just they're not very popular.
Well, as you can probably tell, I'm sick again. This is the second time this year, second ear infection. So I'm like a little bit sick of this. I'm sick of being sick, but...
That's a big mood.
Before we get to the episode, I just wanted to make an announcement. If you are interested in supporting us financially at all, there are a couple links in the description. You can send us some money on PayPal, or you can go to Ko-fi, which is ko-fi.com/Martha and Colby, and send us a donation of $3. That's it. If you've been enjoying the podcast, we would love your support.
We'd appreciate it a lot.
Now on to the episode. So this month on Martha and Colby Grow Up, we are talking all about relationships because I think they're like some of my favorite things to talk about. I love talking about dating and relationships.
I love talking about other people's relationships.
No, like seriously, if I ever had a problem in a relationship, I would get advice from like five people just because I like wanted to make sure I was making the best decision. But now that I do that, I have all this knowledge that hopefully... can help someone someday. So this week we are going through the archives of Reddit and Reddit Relationship Advice, which is a popular subreddit. We're going to be reading the posts and we will be giving our own advice according to the post. So without further ado, I mean, like, that makes sense, right? I don't need to explain it more.
This is a very complicated format, but I think our listeners can get a hang of what's happening here.
All right, let me pull up the first post. Okay. My girlfriend seems controlling. The person who's posting this is a male, 24, and his girlfriend is female, 22. I'm honestly not sure. I've noticed some manipulative behaviors, and I point them out. She either laughs or says something like, "I would never say that about you." But Our main issue right now is that I took a trip to see some friends back in December from my home state. A friend paid for it. I said she could come up, but she couldn't afford it. She was upset with me because I wouldn't pay for her or delay the trip. But we planned a trip around the concert, so I couldn't delay it. Anyways, now the issue is that another friend bought us tickets to go to a concert. My girlfriend works on that day, and then even then, tickets are sold out. I hardly ever get time to myself anyways. I work 50 plus hours a week, and my girlfriend works 10 to 20 hours a week, so I'm not really upset about having some time apart anyways. I need some advice. I feel like it's a bit controlling. Tonight she slept at her parents' house. She moved into my house 5 to 6 months ago, and she said she doesn't want to talk to me because I want to go to the show. A little backstory, she gets upset anytime I talk to most people, even if it's just texting. I think she might be codependent, but I don't know much about it. I think I'm a bit codependent too, but I don't get upset when she talks to other people or sees other people, so I'm at a loss here. So the issue is that he wants to go to this concert, but his girlfriend like doesn't let him.
I think this is like the broader thing for this problem is something that I've discovered in relationships is that people need to have, like, the two, however many people are in your relationship, need to have their own things.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to, like, just as a small example, like, me and my partner watch a lot of TV together, but we still have shows where it's like, oh, Criminal Minds, that is a her thing. The Magicians, that's a me thing. And it's just, it's good to keep those things just so you keep a bit of yourself, I think.
Yeah. I think I would need maybe a little bit more context depending on how long they... Oh, so they've been living together for like 6 months. I would want to know how long they've been together because I do think... I mean, it does seem that if she only works 10 to 20 hours a week and this guy works 50 plus hours a week, like that isn't... You're right. That's not a lot of time to yourself. And then...
But also it's... not a lot of time together.
Yeah, and, like, the girlfriend probably gets bored if she's only working 10 to 20 hours a week. So I feel like there... Yeah, there's, like, something going on here that she's probably jealous that she doesn't get to spend enough time with him and that, like, you can't do things alone. So I think that's very interesting because I, like, bringing up, like, the movie TV show example, I had a boyfriend that... loved going to scary movies. I hated them, but he would just go alone and like we would do our own thing that night. And I thought that was like pretty healthy. Like I did feel bad that I couldn't go to a movie with him just because it was sort of our thing that we did, but I'm not going to spend $10 to see It Chapter 2 when I would like rather do anything else. So
yeah, I do think there is something to, so like my current living situation, my partner works like full-time hours, but she works from home. Mm-hmm. So she's here all day by herself pretty much while I'm at my normal business hours job. And when I do get home, I try to like intentionally spend time with her because one, she's home alone all day. And two, like we haven't gotten to spend that time together like we used to in college. So I think there is a little give and take that could be done in this situation where maybe you think you're being attentive when you're at home together, but maybe you could be a little, you may be able to give a little more, but also on the other hand, having your own things, like I said, is very important.
Well, I think I want to talk about the codependency a little bit because that's a very like serious thing to bring up because I think I was in a codependent relationship. My first relationship when I was in high school, because like my happiness depended on their happiness and we were very intertwined.
Can you define codependency real quick?
Yes. Let me look up an actual definition so I don't get it wrong.
No, I want you to mislead the people.
Codependency is a condition in a relationship where one person enables another person's addiction, poor mental health, immaturity, irresponsibility, or underachievement. So, among the core characteristics of codependency is an excessive reliance on other people for approval and a sense of identity. So, yeah, I could see the girlfriend in this situation being a little bit codependent because she is literally relying on this guy to hang out with her at every turn. And, like, I get that they live together, and I feel like that it's, I have never lived with a partner, so maybe Colby, you can speak on this, but I feel like it maybe is a little bit hard when you live together to not be codependent, just because you're literally together a lot. And if she's saying that they're not together a lot, then maybe she wants that and is sort of projecting on that. That would be my take on this.
Codependency connotes something that's not healthy. So I do think there is a difference between like being empathetically and sympathetically with someone in the same space and being codependent. I don't believe my partner and I are codependent. But like we definitely like feed off of each other. Like when she's having a bad day, it bothers me, like that sort of thing, but it's not.
I think that's just being supportive though. I don't think that's.
Yeah. I don't think it's codependent. I definitely think there's a way to healthily live with somebody.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I'm not sure if this relationship is accomplishing that.
No, and I'm not sure if it's like super controlling or super codependent. I probably need more insight into that, but
that's like a thing that like your friends need to look at and tell you what they think.
I think that, I mean, like, I do think it's healthy to have separate things, and I would be pretty mad if my partner was like, no, you can't go to this concert. And I, like, I don't know. I've been in the situation where I have said, like, I don't want you to do that. But now that I'm older and have had more experience, I think that, like, I actually prefer to go to movies alone. And if my partner, like, didn't respect that, I would be really mad, so.
Movies alone are great. My partner and I, the other day, she wanted to go see, a couple weeks ago, she wanted to see Bad Boys 2. I wanted to see Birds of Prey. Went at the same time, saw different movies. So it was a great time.
Nice. Okay, are we ready for our next one?
I think so.
All right. My girlfriend is obsessed with psychedelics and her spiritual journey. The guy who's posting is 23 and a male, and he's posting about his girlfriend who is 25 and a female. So, we've been dating for 3 years on and off due to studies abroad, and we had similar interests, and we study/studied in the same field, so we have a lot in common. We have a great relationship overall. We are very transparent and open about everything, but the thing is, she has a history of addiction, amphetamine, and she has gotten past it many years ago, and it was only for a short duration, 6 months. I was okay with that since she has matured and doesn't do anything anymore and barely drinks alcohol. The issue that has aroused recently is that she experimented with some hallucinogenic drugs such as magic mushrooms, truffle, and DMT. I only know what one of those are, while studying abroad in Amsterdam. Now, over the past 12 months, it's all she talks about. She says how it isn't addictive, how it can solve depression and other mental issues, and how it showed her this other dimension and so forth. At first, it piqued my interest, and I thought it'd be fun to discuss and for her to share her experience. But now it's all she talks about. We used to talk about our hobbies, working out, gaming, movies, etc. But ever since she came back, all she talks about are these psychedelics. Her next move is to grow her own shrooms and get a hold of DMT again here in Poland. I feel like I'm slowly losing her. She wants this so-called, quote, breakthrough by experimenting with these drugs, and even though the drug itself isn't addictive, I feel like this obsession for a breakthrough is. We've talked about it, and she just gets upset and frustrated and says that I don't understand and never will until I try it. I don't know how to proceed. I don't want this to be a deal breaker, but at the same time, I don't know if this phase will ever end. How do I go about this?
So she's not wrong in that shrooms, psilocybin, other psychedelics can be like a life-changing sort of experience for them to go through. I don't know. What do you think, Martha?
Well, so before I say that, we can read the update because there is an update to that post, but I'll give my take. I am not experienced in hallucinogenic drugs, but I do know what it's like to sort of really push yourself and want a breakthrough, because I paid for a lot of life coaching and business coaching, and I was like, I hope that, you know, I can be the next biggest thing. Kind of given up on that dream for a little bit just because it ended up in a lot of debt. So I think there's two things. Like, I'm definitely, if doing hallucinogenics is your thing, then as long as you're doing that in like a safe and controlled manner with people you trust, like, totally, that's totally fine. But I think if you're relying on it to better your life, that's sort of where I'm maybe not okay with it. But again, I feel like I don't know if I can answer this from a drug perspective because I'm not familiar with that. But you're right. Like, it is a thing that people do and it is proven. But I think there, if you really want to better your life, I don't think this can be the only thing. I think there has to be other things like therapy and maybe other medication that you can get on that would help that.
I think that, one, this is one of the ones I figured a lot of these, the answer would be like talk.
Yeah.
Talk to each other. I think that maybe an in-depth conversation needs to happen about digging more into why she thinks she needs a breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was an interesting comment from one of the commenters on the post, and it says, me and my significant other of 3.5 years have maybe one common interest at any given time. However, we have the same core beliefs, and that's what makes our relationship work. Also, I listen to him talk about cardistry, whatever that is, and skateboarding, not because I care about it, but because I love him and he does the same for me. I think that's a good point. Like, personally, I don't know if I could be with anyone who is like this. So, like, from my point of view, I think that I'm not super into that. But I think that, I think, like, it is important to have core beliefs. So maybe that's the thing that you need to focus on. Like, do you want personal development? Is there a way you can do that safely? So that's sort of, I like that. Like, I think you need to find your core beliefs, find out what maybe that can do. But I do think if it's become an addiction and it says that she has had an addictive personality in the past, then I'm a little bit more worried.
Yeah, on like the super broad strokes of like being with somebody who doesn't have the same interests as you, like it's possible. Like that commenter said, it's very possible for that to be a relationship that works. But I don't think that's possible for everyone, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, for me and my relationships, we've always had, like, a good amount of things in common. We are different people, of course, but we had different things in common. Or we had a lot of things in common. So if that's something that's integral for a relationship for you, maybe it won't work.
Yeah. So I think now is a good time to read the update. I'm going to skim it because it's a little bit long. Also, I have not read any of these before we started talking about them. I just picked them at random based on the headlines. So, in the end, I made the decision to try psychedelics in order to try and understand my girlfriend's point of view better as I truly love her. We bought some mushrooms and trusted common friend and did it together in my apartment as I felt the safest there. The trip was a blast, and we laughed, were intimate, and had an overall great experience. It was unlike any substance I've tried before, but then again, I'm the kind of guy who rarely consumes drugs or alcohol. After the trip, I felt my girlfriend was very focused on how my experience was, and I could see her face brighten up with excitement as she asked me about the trip afterwards. She probably wanted me to feel like this was some sort of spiritual thing, just like she does, but in the end, I felt that this was just like any other drug in the sense that it's a drug that manipulates a part of your body and mind. I could see she felt disappointed that I didn't find this trip as spiritual and insightful as she does. I also realized why my girlfriend likes doing psychedelics, and I also sensed during the trip that she was trying to deal with a lot of personal issues. I don't have to go into detail, but it's regarding trauma, social anxiety, amongst other issues. I tried talking to her about therapy, but instead she strongly refused. She says it's a waste of money and time, and this is way better and more fun. Okay, so that's very interesting. Continuing, we've talked for hours and hours, and I came to the conclusion that she won't be stopping this self-medication, and she's also planned for an out-of-country trip to take stronger psychedelics with a shaman. Ooh, why was that so hard? In the future, I realized that our pathways in life don't align anymore, and that her mindset isn't that of someone I fell in love with. I fell in love with a smart, outgoing girl and that who loved video games and animals, but now she's more into spirituality and the afterlife than the present and science. I knew breaking up would be difficult for both of us, so I tried doing it in a sensible and calm way, but she wasn't as understanding as I thought. She started crying, and then rage ensued. Currently, I've been avoiding her, but she has been spamming me, trying to get together again. Ironically enough, she has tried to get me to take DMT, as she said that if shrooms didn't do the trick to convert me, DMT certainly will. I'm done. So, okay. I think that was maybe the right outcome based on details in this post, if she was like really pressuring him, I don't think that's okay. Like, I think you have to come to an agreement that you want to do it for yourself rather than get peer pressured into taking these heavy drugs.
Yeah, don't pressure people into doing drugs, friends, listeners. Don't do that.
We do not condone that.
Not at all.
All right. Breaking up with my boyfriend who said he didn't want me to make more money than him because I'm younger and a girl.
Screw that. Yeah. Throw the whole man away.
Yeah. This is an update. Well, okay. So we don't have the full context of this post, but yeah, we'll just make this short. Don't do that. People can make money. Like, I have always been like the breadwinner in my, I don't like that term. I think it's outdated, but I have always made more money than my partners in my relationship. That's just how it is. And if I never felt insecure about it. It was maybe a little bit annoying when I wanted to take a trip and they didn't have the money to do that. But in that case, I sort of like what sometimes I did is that I bought things anyways, and then they would pay me back on like a payment plan when they could. It's like we made it work for us, but I have always made more money and I haven't really ever thought twice about it, to be honest. So,
yeah, that specifically, like not wanting to be with someone because they make more money than you, seems like there should be some introspection there. Especially a man saying that about a woman.
Yeah, no, it's just like super insecure. And like we already make, statistically, women make less money than men, even less if you're a woman of color. And that's just like, let us have something, you know, like, God.
Yeah, no, we don't need any more details on that one. Just
break up.
Yeah.
This should be interesting. All right. I, 29 male, do almost nothing around the house. And my wife, 25 female, is upset.
Again, throw the whole man away, but keep reading.
I'm the sole earner for our household. My wife stays home. We don't have children, due primarily to a string of horrible jobs that led to some pretty bad anxiety issues for her. We agreed last year that she could stop working and pursue whatever hobbies, activities, etc. that she wanted while I provided for us financially. As part of this, she agreed to take care of basically everything related to the home. Cooking, cleaning, laundry, shopping, and so on. I still handle a couple of items, really just the garbage and the lawn. Beyond that, it's all her, and she does a great job. Coming home to a clean house and fresh meal from a wife who's happier than I've seen her in years is wonderful. She's also able to keep herself looking hotter than usual, which is definitely fun for both of us. Gross. Why is that an important detail? All right, continuing.
I already didn't like this guy, but anyway.
Anyway, that's the arrangement we have currently, and I think it's more than fair, as does she. Our house isn't big at all, so we are maybe talking 2 to 3 hours a day max to stay on top of everything.
That's a long time. You know, what are you doing the rest of the time in this house? I know. It takes 3 hours every day. Anyway, guy has spoken like someone who does not do housework. Keep going.
Might be temporary as she recharges and develops new skills and interests, or it could be permanent. I'm fine with either one. It's up to her. She had some friends over the other evening. I was playing games in my office. I came out to grab a drink and overheard her friends commenting on our situation. They were saying it wasn't fair that my wife had to do everything. I should be pitching in more. This isn't the 1950s. Shit like that. Okay, whatever. I disagree, but they can talk.
Radical ideas. Anyway.
Doesn't affect me. I come out again later to get something, and these guests actually start straight up scolding me. Same nonsense as before. I'm lazy. I need to do this, that, and blah, blah, blah. My wife didn't agree or clearly didn't intend for this to happen, but was too embarrassed to say anything. They end the rant with one of them saying, "You both make messes. Why should she be the only one cleaning them up?" I probably should have just said it was none of their business and been done with it, but I was pissed and wanted to show how dumb that question was. So I responded, "We both need money. Why should I be the only one making it?" Oof. They didn't say much after that, so I went back into my office. They left a short time later. I finish up there, and I find my wife still in the living room crying. I go to comfort her, thinking it was just out of embarrassment from what happened, but she said that what I said hurt her a lot. Sounded like I didn't think she did enough and wanted her to go back to work. I tried to explain that it was just a rhetorical question to make a point, but she's still upset. How can I reassure her that I'm happy with our arrangement and appreciate everything else she does?
Okay, so if it works for you that she does the majority of the housework and you make the money for the household. If that is an arrangement that works for you, awesome, good, let it ride. Like, you don't need to defend yourself for that, I don't think. But it sounds like your wife was talking to her friends about this situation, and in a way that does not, that makes me think that your wife doesn't think it's okay, if that makes sense. So maybe there need to be some additional conversations about what being a good husband looks like in this relationship.
I think you're right. I think if it is an agreed upon arrangement and you guys are both truly happy, then that's fine. But I think that comment was super insensitive. And I think it's like, it's totally relevant to check in with your wife. Like, is she still happy? Maybe she does want to get a part-time job. Like, maybe, you know, if she made more money, they could hire help or something. But I do think that, well, and maybe this is just me, but because I hate cleaning, but if I was expected to do literally all of this every day, I would expect them to pitch in more. I do think it's different because she stays home. And if that's like, you know, a lot, I kind of agree with the friends, and I don't like that she's expected to do everything. But again, like, if it does work for them and they did, you know, they are happy with that, then that's fine. But,
and I'll say, like I said, my partner does work from home. She's home most of the time, and she does do most of the work around the apartment for like maintaining cleanliness. But when I get home and like if something needs to be done, like I do it. And like it's something that we've talked about, and it's like it's literally a continuous conversation where I try to check in, like, hey, am I doing enough? Do I need to do more? Like, that sort of thing. So this should not be a one-time conversation because people's feelings change about things.
No, and I think that's a good point to bring up, something that I wish I would have done more in my relationships. And like, it's, you can call it whatever you want, but it's basically like a State of the Union weekly checkup, or like bi-weekly checkup, whatever you agree upon. But give yourself the opportunity to talk about, you know, like what you need to talk about in a safe way. Because if you never set aside time to talk, and you're always kind of, I did this a lot. Like, I was always the one bringing up problems because we didn't have that like weekly setup thing to like talk about, because it felt weird and awkward. But I think the more you do it, it probably doesn't feel weird and awkward. So I think like that's a good thing to talk about. I don't know. But that reminds me, I want to bring up this thing. It's called a radar, which is from this podcast I listen to called Multi-Amory. And we can link this in the show notes if you want. But basically, radar is like a list of things. So review past actions and past month. Like, if there's anything you need to discuss, celebrate which action points you did successfully. Agree on the lineup list agenda. So quality time, sex, health, fights, arguments, money, work projects, travel, family, household. There's also other partners, because this is from a polyamorous podcast, but discuss. So RAD, discuss, go through your list. Action points, create achievable goals that are as specific as possible. R, reconnect. So appreciate, compliments, fun activity, like give your, you know, massage or cuddle or whatever. So I really like that. And the next relationship I'm in, I do plan on implementing that, as formal as that sounds. But I think it's like a good way to have a safe space to talk about things.
Formalizing things in relationships is not a bad thing. It's nice sometimes.
Yeah.
It's nice to have some structure around what you're doing with your significant other.
I agree. So I think this situation, we maybe need more information, but he definitely could talk to her to see if it's still okay. This one is going to be complicated. So I'm okay. It's an interesting situation. So
I wonder if we're ever going to disagree on one of these.
I don't know. I feel like we're like logical people. Maybe these people just need a dose of logic. I don't know. how do I F27 tell my boyfriend M29 that I'm not going to cancel my birthday dinner? Am I wrong for not wanting to cancel? Okay, so like from the headline, I'm like, maybe you shouldn't cancel. I don't know. But context. My boyfriend lost his previous girlfriend to cancer in 2016. I'm his first relationship since she passed away. In a sad coincidence, my birthday and the anniversary of his previous girlfriend passing away are the exact same date.
Oof.
We've been together.
Okay.
We've been together for 10 months, so this is the first of my birthdays since we got together. My birthday is next weekend, and as every year, my parents want me to visit them for my birthday and have dinner together with my grandma. I'm an only child, and so is my mom, and so I'm my grandma's only grandchild. So they always insist on celebrating my birthday together, even though I'm an adult and I live in another city. When I told my boyfriend about my plans and asked him to visit my parents with me, he got mad at me for planning a birthday dinner with my parents on the same date his girlfriend passed away. I felt like an idiot for not thinking about that, and I felt bad, so I told him he didn't have to come if he didn't feel comfortable going to a dinner on that date, so that I was going alone. He still got mad at me for planning to leave him alone on that date. He insisted I cancel the plans with my parents. At first, I felt really bad thinking about leaving him alone in what is a hard day for him, so I agreed to cancel the dinner. But later, when I was about to call my parents to cancel it, I decided against it. My grandma's 95 years old. I don't know for how much longer she's going to be with us, and I don't want to regret canceling a chance to see her because I don't see her very often, and she would be heartbroken if I canceled. Besides my birthday and our anniversary, obviously going to fall on the same date every year. So if I accept canceling now, he might expect me to do that every year, and I don't want to stop celebrating my birthday. How do I tell my boyfriend I changed his mind about canceling my birthday dinner without making it look as if I don't care for his feelings? Also, am I wrong for not wanting to cancel? I know that day must be horrible for him.
Oof. Big oof. Huge oof. One, she's not a terrible person for not wanting to cancel her birthday dinner. I totally get that. Oh, man, that is a tough one. But I'm not sure if it's entirely fair for him to be upset with her for wanting to spend time with her family. While I think she should also find some way for him to have a support system on that day if she's not going to be there.
The thing that stuck out to me is that they've only been dating for 10 months and he's expecting her to cancel. And that feels like a lot like I'm asking you to do some emotional labor for me. I understand that it's, you know, you need to be a supportive partner. But like for me, I
don't know if it's as much emotional labor, but it is. It's asking a lot for a relatively new relationship. Yeah.
I get it. Like, I think it's quite unfortunate that, you know, you had a partner that you loved very much and like that she died and that sucks. I don't know what to do in this situation. So I'm looking because I'm thinking of a story. So I had a friend in high school who died of cancer, and I know that her mom took it very hard, and I know that she does still celebrate her dead daughter's birthday every year. And I think like that, like I think in that sense, like maybe that's a better way to celebrate this person rather than, you know, focusing on the anniversary of their death. Like I think that maybe focus on this ex-girlfriend's and is she an ex-girlfriend if she's dead? I don't know. I like focus on this woman's birthday rather than her death day, because maybe that's like could be a more positive experience. And then
I will say though, from having being in a similar-ish situation, that day is very hard for someone's partner. So that really sucks that it's on her birthday. That's just why I keep coming back through. Like that's really
so
an unfortunate coincidence.
There's a good comment here, and it says, advice my mom gave me after my dad died. The date of his death is going to come around every year. Don't let the least important day of his life become a burden to yours. Celebrate his life. Don't memorialize his death. Spend the day with your family. So, Yeah, like that's kind of what I was saying. Like, don't maybe focus on so much like negative aspects, but I do think therapy would be like really helpful for a lot of this, because I think it is super hard. Like, obviously you want to be supportive of your new girlfriend while also not forgetting, you know, your old girlfriend. But there is this woman who's wrote a couple of books. She's pretty famous in Minnesota. Her name is Nora McInerney. And she wrote, don't remember the book, what the book is called, but basically her husband died as she was pregnant, I think, with her son. Or it was like, no, I think it was like she gave birth slightly before he died. So that, like, obviously, you know, you have a new baby, but your husband's also dead. And she's like, I'm not gonna not live my life. And because I do that, it doesn't mean I forget my ex-husband or like my dead husband. So I think like that's a good point. Like, you can still live your life and memorialize this person in your own way, but you don't have to give everything up and stop everything on this one day. That doesn't mean you care about them less. So I think like that's where I'm landing on this.
I agree, and I also still think that they should find some way for him to be supported on that day if she's going to be like out of town and not around him.
Like, maybe he could go to his parents or hang out with some friends, or like, I mean, I almost want to suggest like maybe you just celebrate your birthday on a different day. But again, I don't know if that seems fair, but like, this is a hard one. I'm not sure what I would do here.
Yeah, this is a very difficult one.
It's a good one to land on. But I think, I mean, like, yeah, people die all the time. That's
astute. Sad
fact. I was fucking making my point, all right? But, okay, so for example, my grandpa died and his birthday is Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day is always pretty hard for my mom and my grandma. But they still find ways to, like, celebrate the love in other ways. So I think it'll become less painful with time. And I'm not suggesting to minimize how you feel, but I do think that there are ways to do that while still celebrating, you know, your new girlfriend's birthday in maybe a different way, maybe not on that day, but it's, yeah, I don't know. I think that you should go see your family, honestly. We are going to do one more for y'all. This one is interesting, and I think it'll be a good conversation to have. So, boyfriend is interested in someone else. How do I proceed? Last night, my boyfriend and I went out with a bunch of different friends to celebrate a friend's birthday. We decided to Uber home to the bar together because parking would have been a shit show. Uber to the bar together, not Uber home. We had a really fun time, both drank a lot, and got an Uber home. On the ride home, I had him open up his phone for me to order something from Uber Eats. The account and payment method is already set up on his phone. He passes the heck out in the Uber. He was sleeping, out cold, on my shoulder. We both get home, both go into the apartment. He immediately throws himself into the bed. Not a problem, I thought to myself. Whatever I order, he can just eat in the morning. I continue to fiddle with the Uber Eats order. Finally, just decide on something easy from McDonald's. I double tap the home button and it brings up all the apps he has open, and voila, I see a conversation with a girl on Facebook. At this point, I should have stopped, but I had a suspicion already that he was interested in this person. He would talk about her all the time and then swear to me nothing was going on. I did a bad thing. I snooped. He was asleep in bed and I was in the couch looking at the raunchy and inappropriate things he had said to her. Oh, interesting twist. He told her that he was interested but couldn't act upon it because he was with me. But he only said that after having many other inappropriate conversations with her. Plus, he was on thin ice, only because this isn't the first time he's interested in someone else. I cried reading the messages and wrote a very emotional soliloquy of sorts in my notes about all the feelings I was having and everything I wanted to say to him before hitting the hay last night. It's morning, and I'm awake now. I'm still at his place. He's asleep. Should I wait for him to wake up and make it clear I don't want to pursue anything further, or should I just grab the things I packed for the night and head home?
I think that she should probably go home and, like, send a text, like, hey, let me know when you're up. We need to talk. One of those fun text messages to wake up to.
Honestly, I would just wait. I would wait and like wait till he wakes up and be like, hey, like this is what happened. We need to talk. It's not ideal, but there's never an ideal time to talk about something so serious, you know?
Yeah, yes. And I also believe that maybe physical space for a little bit of time might be helpful in organizing thoughts. I'm very impressed that she had the presence of mind to like write out what she was feeling at the moment in the night before. That seems like a very healthy behavior. I am not worried about this person. I think they have a very good right. ability to have this conversation.
There is an update, and which I will read after my thing. So, one, I don't think it's inherently wrong to have crushes on other people in your relationship. I think, like, the fact that you would never find anyone else attractive again is, like, your brain doesn't shut off when you're in a relationship. You still find people attractive. So I don't think it's wrong to have a crush. However, I do think it is wrong to act non-consensually upon this crush. I think that, you know, if you are pursuing an open relationship and that's like within your realm of rules, totally fine.
This is not one of those cases.
This is definitely like a monogamous relationship and this guy was acting inappropriately. I do think that one thing that I have struggled with in the past is that you do need to have boundaries for yourself, and you need to set those up with your partner. Like, maybe it's okay if you occasionally flirt with someone at a bar. Like, maybe it's okay if you, you know, send a flirty message. That could be okay. I assume from this that is not okay for this relationship. That being said, I think she should probably dump him because he violated a boundary of trust. And unless he, like...
And it sounds like repeatedly.
Yeah. And I would say that, like, this happening once, fine. Like, that doesn't make you a bad person. He didn't act on it. It was unfortunate, but I don't think, like, once is fine. Multiple times, okay, like, that's not good. And there's no evidence to support the fact that he would never do it again. So I say break up. But I think here's an update from the OP. She says, thank you a whole lot for your support. I'm definitely going to leave him. I know that much. But I don't know if I should wait for him to wake up and explain it to him or just shoot a text when she gets home. The comments say that she should just go. I disagree. I think she should just, like, this is funny. Make a big breakfast, leave no leftovers, and leave the mess and leave. Yeah, I would do that. That's something I would do. Be petty.
Yeah, I think I would probably leave and go home. Actually, I'm not sure if I would. I don't know. I feel like that's a very big conversation to have first thing in the morning. Is my only thing.
That's true, but there's never... I mean, one time a guy broke up with me because... He stayed over at my place. We woke up, and I went to a workout class, and he was like, oh, I'm going to stay in your dorm. And I was like, all right, weird, but cool. I'll come back when my workout class is done. And then he broke up with me there, so I get it. There's not, like, a good time. But this guy kind of seems like a tool, so I don't think you should take his feelings into account. I think you should just do it. So
perhaps,
but maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think there's a 100% wrong decision
besides staying with him.
Yeah.
Okay, that has been our episode on relationship advice. I hope you enjoyed it. That was like really fun to do, and I feel like we agreed on everything, so I don't know if it was particularly interesting, but maybe it is.
But we have different experiences that we brought to the table. I think it's, I think it was a good conversation. That was fun. I really liked it. We should do it again.
We should. Just a reminder, if you want to donate money, you can find our PayPal or Ko-fi link in the description. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at @marthaandcolby.
Jordan Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
Same time, saw different movies, so it was a great time.
Nice. Okay, are we ready for our next one?
I think so.
I gotta blow my nose. Pause.
You're not allowed. Did it anyway.
Who are you to tell me?
Colby.